I'll just give a brief overview of my research interest, which is on Asian American minority population, the stereotypes that are associated with it, the immigration policies and histories of Asians coming to the U.S., and how it all connects to health, finally, because I'm a physician at heart, and I have practiced for a number of years. And before I begin, as always, I have no relationships to disclose, except I'm married. My presentation today will be a brief overview of the literature that I'm going to talk about today, and followed by my research work. And I thank Dr. Lee, who has set up beautifully all the information about the data and everything else. So Asian American immigrants, population is extremely diverse, and there are almost 4% of the U.S. population, and the minority group is increasing very fast in the U.S. And it's very diverse in the sense that they range right from foreign-born to fourth and fifth generations living in the U.S. They're diverse on levels of geography. They come from more than 40 countries, languages and dialects, which amount to more than 1,000. So imagine doing research in 1,000 languages in the U.S. with the 4% population of the U.S. So the challenges that it presents to us with such a diverse population, I think everybody agrees to them. So with that said, because I want to stress a little bit about the immigration history as to how Asians came to the U.S. And in fact, the immigration from Asia has happened in multiple waves, starting from 1800s. And they came first here as cheap labor during the gold rush time. And as the demands of work decreased, the numerous restrictions was imposed on specific communities, like the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882, the Asiatic Barred Zone Act in 1917, in 1924 for South Asians, and literally around the 1920s, the total number of Asians allowed from Asia was 20 total. That's all it was allowed in a year. It was only in 1965 when finally the new contemporary immigration policy was established, and policies like nation origins was established, was deleted. And then we had people coming for work, people coming to join their family members, and that created an influx of Asian immigration to the U.S. With that said, suddenly we became the modern minority in the last 20, 30 years in our research work. And everywhere I read, the social media, popular media, research work came up with this term, modern minority. It was first used by William Peterson. And what he said was that Asian values, family values, work values makes us and contributes to high academic and economic success in this country. And even though there's nothing wrong in being praised for what this community has achieved, there are many setbacks that comes along with such a strong stereotype. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what are the disadvantages of being stereotyped as a modern minority. First of all, it hides the diversity among Asian Americans. Not everybody is economically successful in this country. Not everybody is as academically has achieved high in academics yet. And for example, poverty rates in this country for the general population amounts to about 12%. And for the Asian Americans, totally, it also is around 12-13%. However, when you break it down by ethnic groups, you see ranges, for example, 40% in the Hmong Cambodian refugees, to 12 to 15% among the Filipinos. And so if we don't take stock of these differences within the community, we do a disservice to the community. Moving along, the second risk factor before I move on to the next slide is that when we talk about model minority, we set a standard for the group. And so when a standard is set, as far as health is concerned, I have many Asian community members that hesitate to admit to the issues that they're having as far as health is concerned. Stigma increases to health issues, and access to healthcare changes. And that is a serious concern for health professionals across the nation, how to make Asian American people comfortable in approaching the healthcare industry and professionals. So with that said, to touch a little bit about acculturation and acculturative stress, because it seems like it's a very hot topic when we talk about immigration, is that when communities come in contact with each other, there are changes happening in both the communities, not just the immigrating community, but also in the host community. And based on that, It just sounded like a sci-fi fiction to me. I'm so sorry. But it leads to stress and conflict. And there's nothing wrong with stress and conflict, except for the fact that it has to be understood and examined, and the health and professionals need to be informed that when you're dealing with the immigrant population, there are certain things that you need to be concerned about and be aware about. So generally, acculturative stress has been investigated in minority populations, specifically the African-American and the Latinos, and it has shown to have a strong connection with poor health indicators, especially mental health. Among the Asian group, many studies have been done in communities, among student groups and universities, and it has shown to be associated significantly with maladjustment and poor mental health outcomes. However, a big study, national-level study, was only done and last came along. And finally, it is also important to remember that this stress is more proximal to distress and depression in some research. So it's something to be really worried about. It leads to acute issues and chronic issues. My main research objective for my presentation today is to study the effects of acculturative stress on depression among Asian American immigrants, and also to study this relationship among the three main ethnic groups that were in the data set: Vietnamese, Chinese, and Filipinos. I'll go over this fast because we just heard about it a lot. There are about 2,000 sample size in the NLAS. However, I worked specifically with the immigrants in the study group. And what it means is that Asians who were born outside the country, so Asians who were U.S. born, were not included as an immigrant population in this work. And depression was measured by the CD, which is based on community studies, so it was found to be more appropriate. It wasn't a checklist like how other measures are. And finally, the acculturative stress scale was adapted and well-validated from the Mexican-American prevalence and survey surveys. And it had three major domains: legal stress, discrimination, and language difficulties. And I'll talk more about these scales a little bit later. Right. So the first domain of the acculturative stress was legal stress. And because you can't ask pretty much as to what your visa status is, or are you legal or illegal in this country, and these are sensitive questions, and we don't expect as researchers for clear answers, so we go around it and ask, are you concerned about your legal status? Do you hesitate to approach government agencies or health agencies because you'll be deported? Or do you avoid seeking health services because of fear of immigration officials? And just to show the importance of these questions, for example, if you are involved in a DUI in this country and you don't have a green card or a citizenship to this country, you may be deported. So an offense which would be punishable by some community duties or some time in the prison for an immigrant would be going back to their respective countries, even if they haven't lived there and they immigrated to this country at the age of one. So this is a very serious issue when it comes to talking about legal status. Moving on to discrimination, it is a very well-researched area as to how discrimination has shown health effects, and it was considered important to specifically talk about discrimination as being an Asian descent. So discrimination has been calculated and measured in different forms, but this was specifically for being an immigrant. And finally, language difficulties. And it was not just that, can you speak English? As you can see, I am speaking English, but I do have an accent. There are many students when I'm teaching at the University of Michigan that they don't understand what I'm saying because my accent is different, and sometimes the context of my language, my slangs, my phrases are different. And so I need to adapt and learn to how the language is used in this country. So the interaction with the language is also important, not just knowing English and knowing good English. So finally, a brief descriptive table. Almost 8% of the sample showed that they said yes to endorse to depression. More than 19% endorsed legal stress. Language difficulty was prevalent. Discrimination was more than 40% endorsed by this population. Most of them had come to seek jobs and join family members. And most of the population was foreign-born, more than 70%. And they had lived in this country for more than 10 years. this table shows the stressors that were endorsed by the sample population. And if you see way left in the total sample population, legal stress was an important concern, almost 20%. And across all Asian groups, Vietnamese, Filipinos, Chinese, and the others, it was important. However, in the Vietnamese group, it was way down to 5 to 6%. And it just shows that Vietnamese who usually came here as refugees got assistance from the government to become citizens to this country, show a different trajectory in their settlement process compared to the other groups that show this as a prominent stress. If you look across language barriers, you see that everybody has high difficulty in language issues. However, Philippines was colonized by the U.S. and has a long history of being associated with America, and so English is their official language, which explains why the barriers was not endorsed by them that much. And finally, discrimination was across the board, endorsed by all the groups. I still haven't found a consistent answer as to why Filipinos endorse it less. Listening to the conversation we just had, maybe it's religion, maybe it's they can communicate better, and if they feel harmed by somebody in the language or action. So I haven't really thought about it more. I ran logistic regressions to find out the associations of stress to depression, and had multiple covariates to control for. And irrespective of the model that I ran, legal stress was significantly associated with depression across the board for the total sample size. Language difficulty was also significantly related. Discrimination did not show to be significantly related to depression. When I ran the same regression for individual groups, it showed that legal stress was still an important association with depression. It was significantly related with it. For Filipinos, discrimination showed to be an important factor which contributed to the depression. In summary, legal stress and language difficulties are significantly related to depression among all Asian Americans. This variation is noted for different ethnic groups, and multiple interactions were finally done between stressors and the age at which they came to furthermore understand why these things are happening. And the two answers that I came up with was, maybe immigrating as an adult versus a child has an impact as to how you experience legal stress in this country, because as a child, you're not the major person who's deciding to come to the U.S. And finally, language barrier, as you live longer in the U.S., the impact of barrier decreases on depression. As with all national-level data set, it's a cross-sectional survey, and it comes with its limitations. It focuses on the Western expression of psychiatric disorders, depression, and only a set of immigration policies, histories, and variables were considered. And only three ethnic groups were there in the data set that I could work on. Future implications to this research, it's a little stone in the vast ocean of research that still needs to be done for Asian American immigrants coming to this country, and I hope I contributed in some way to that. And I acknowledge the NIH and the people who helped me work through this process. Thank you.